Do you find it harder than ever to keep your customer training material up to date? If so, you are not alone. That's exactly why LearnWorlds has become such a standout in customer education. It gives you the flexibility to build training that feels like your brand, not like a boxed-in LMS template. And honestly, the analytics are some of the best I've ever seen. You get real insight into engagement, progress, and ROI without having to become a full-time data analyst. You can also chat with AI to immediately discover anything you want to know about your learner's progress, course trends, or revenue insights. Just ask it questions and let it pull that data for you. The integrations are smooth, especially if you're running HubSpot or automations across your stack. And the platform is actually enjoyable to use for both admins and learners, which I know sounds wild for an LMS. But here's the thing I appreciate the most. Customer education teams consistently tell us that LearnWorlds helps them move faster without relinquishing control. It is learning that scales alongside your product and business. And if you need to even train employees or partners, you can do it within the same account. Just create a new school and you are good to go. The platform is very user-friendly, so you are not relying on devs for changes that you might need to make, which gives you so much autonomy and flexibility. So if you're ready to upgrade your academy experience or rethink how you deliver product education, check out learnworlds.com today. And enter the code CELAB15 for 15% off the first 6 months of your subscription. And welcome back to CLAB, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs. We experiment with new approaches, new ideas, and always we like to say, exterminate those myths and bad advice you might get that stops growth, our growth, our company's growth, our customer's growth, dead in its tracks. I'm Dave Darrington, and I am joined today by Jess Katz. Say hello, Jess.
Hey, how is everybody doing? So excited to be here.
Yay. Now, I'm really thankful and I'm really excited about this episode. So, but before we do, we always do what we call the International Day of. And Jess, I don't know if you took a look at that page today. What my kind of evolving tradition now is we look at the page, say pick one and say what we like. That's a little warm up and anything fun around that you want to bring to the table. So what's your selection for the day?
So I saw the one that you picked, which was the work from home day. Yes. So I'm kind of stealing yours, but that one really stood out to me. Yeah. I mentioned this to you earlier, but I have a puppy. So she's 11 months old. Oh. And I love her. And ever since I got her, I've become kind of like a homebody and wanting to be with her all the time. So I love the times that I can work from home with her.
Yay. What's your puppy's name?
Her name is Lila. She is a Bernedoodle.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. She's a handful, though. I will say it's a bit hard working from home with her, but it's worth it.
Well, in one context, this is one I picked, too. And in the pets category, how would you have the opportunity to help nurture and develop and teach your dog the things that she needs to learn, you know, what Lila needs to learn, and you get that home time. So
yeah,
it's awesome. That's my pick, too. And, you know, I'm still, how many years have I done work from home? I think it happened in a busy day when COVID hit and I was sitting at Outreach they used to work at and they're like, everybody take your monitor, take your stuff, go home. And since then, it hasn't been.
Wow, really?
Now. Yeah, like 2000 now, or 2020. And now I work at Vast and we actually have an office again. And I go in a couple of days a week. So let's keep embracing our work from home. It's great. Okay, let's frame this up. This is today. It's a frame up, not a hypothesis. And there's something here in what Jess, you're going to be talking about today. I'll do a little bit more talking now, and then I'm going to shift to asking a lot of questions and having you exposition and tell us about what you've been doing. And I think you and I would both put out into the world this concept of, you know, we're hearing about agentic this and agentic that. And we've been talking about what I'd call agentic learning. And that term comes up. I'd like to put a little claim into it, but, you know, we're all exploring this at the same time. That is an emergent term. And it's a little fuzzy. So leading up to our discussion, let's talk about what's been happening that for this, we've been really working in customer education or customer experience now as we're trying to all level up and group our assets to think about the entirety of the journey. Not just, what does customer need? No, it's enablement. It's sales enablement. Mm-hmm. It's partner enablement. It's all that kind of stuff. But what do we have? We have smaller teams. We have much bigger mandates. Yeah, we'll use that word. Tighter budgets. That's the dirty word. And we're now, I mean, look at layoffs and stuff like that. It's been brutal. We're doing more with less, and it's not going to stop. So that work smarter, what I and you have been seeing is that we've got all these tools now. And what does this do? And what's Claude doing? And what's this new application that's built for, you know, I can think of a customer or a platform called Uplimit that has brought AI into a different way. There's all these things emerging. So AI is changing the equation so fundamentally now, a couple years out when we really started talking about it. And we're at that point. You don't just have a tool. It's not just a tool. It is, you can have a, and I'm going to give you the limelight on this as we start talking about it, a team, right? A team, a cluster, a swarm of agents, like think like a drone, but they're autonomous agents. Each one specialized. One program with maybe, like I'm seeing, I saw this at work the other day, and I do this too. A whole support team got together and used Notebook LM and threw everything in it where they're building, we're building our own agentic structures. And it's amazing to see what's happening, right? We want these tools to have deep product knowledge and correct knowledge. We wanted to know what our customers are using. We would know use cases and all that kind of stuff. Now you're a strategic director of a team of not just people, but it's the technology working for us in a way that's autonomous and agentic. That's what I mean by agentic learning. So I'm going to try to wrap this up because I really wanted to frame up the context of our discussion. Now, being honest with our audience, look, most of us, and me included, we're not where we can be yet. We're all exploring. You know, some of us may be using ChatGPT to write a quiz. Some are feeding a transcript into a tool to generate a summary. Hey, that's all fine. You know, I'll even mention because I work with a lot of sponsors for C-Lab, such as, let's say, LearnExperts Leah. Right, Sarah Sedgman and her team. You've got a profound tool that can not just generate that quiz, but also put it at the reading level and structure good questions that could be used for your test bank for certification. You know, that's hard to write. Mm-hmm. So, okay, now let's talk to you. We want to bring to light some really cool work you're doing, Jess, that you got. You reached out and you said, hey, can I share this? Heck yeah. And all of you out there breaking the fourth wall, if you have conversations like this you want to have, we are here to talk with you. And Jess, we're going to do some stuff after, we'll talk about it later. Get out there, talk about it. Let's all work together. You're operating at a different altitude right now after what you've done. So let's introduce you a little bit and then we'll get into the transition here. You're the senior customer education manager at Forter. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And you are, you can tell us a little about this when you, in a bit, you have a AI powered platform via Forter in digital commerce space, which is really exciting. You joined with a team of one, blank slate, mandate. Okay, so like me, I'm in the same boat. I've been here over time. I can't wait for headcount. I'm gonna build a team and now I'm gonna do it different. So let's transition to this. So what I love about what you've talked about, I really want you to get into today, is you started out, you put a really great LinkedIn article. We will share that and go back and interact with that, please. It's a really good one. It's an inspiring conversation. So let's work out loud a bit today. And what I'd like you to do is show our cumulative collective audience what you built, you know, talk about it. But also deeper, get into how you thought about what the processes, the ideas that you had to build it. So we can benefit from the similar thinking. So Jess, you've got the floor. Welcome. Say hello to the audience and tell us a little bit about ourselves, and we'll start off with part one of your story.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I've been a listener for years. As soon as I transitioned my career to customer education, C-Labs was one of the best and still is resources for me to learn the field. So it's great to be here. And yeah, so I joined Forter a little over a year ago. And the mandate was to build a customer education program from the ground up. They'd never had customer education as a function before. So it was really fun to build something from zero, but obviously a lot of work, a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of product expertise, a lot of writing. And I had pretty aggressive goals that I set for myself for when I wanted to launch. What my first goal was to launch a help center. We didn't have a help center. We didn't really have any, or we had some, but like limited customer education. So I really wanted to up level the program that way. And now I'm focused on Academy. And so when I joined, early into me joining, Forter put a really big emphasis and investment in AI internally for us as employees, which I'm very grateful for. It started with a hackathon, actually. So I've always been in tech, always had hackathons, never was able to participate in them because I'm not an engineer. And Forter did something really cool that they had an AI hackathon that they opened up to everybody, and they wanted non-engineers to participate in it. And that was how it started. We had a tool. We used Gemini at the time, and I built a team around me for the hackathon of marketers, solutions consultants, people from all areas of the go-to-market org. We all had a similar pain point that we write a lot, and it takes a lot of time, and it can slow things down, from product releases to case studies to presentations to customers. Everyone had different use cases, but we all needed to sound like Forter. We all needed the content to be experts in the product. And so we worked together to build our first agent. So it was the first agent I ever built that was trained on our products and our brand voice. And it was amazing. And from there, it just spiraled. From there, we have more tools now that we can use at Forter. I think I have like 20 plus agents. And
wow,
I've just kind of fallen in love with AI and how it can help us really scale and get customers what they need quicker.
Yeah. I want to get in a little bit of your history in a minute, but let's focus the conversation first as you're on that, on the topic. What made you turn to an agent? I'm thinking about how, I really want you to unpack this because I and others are all thinking about this as well. How did you, what was that moment or inflection point where you said, hey, I'm going to try this out?
Yeah. So I was kind of an early adopter to ChatGPT just in my personal life. And I always used AI out of the box. That's how I don't know if that's the technical term, but that's how I call it. Like when you,
yeah, you didn't
open the tool
or anything to it. Yeah. Just basics.
You talk to it, you send it something you wanted to summarize, you wanted to analyze, you want to, you know, get advice. But then during the hackathon, when we built the agent, that was my first experience with, oh wait, you can actually program these things. And you can specialize, you can give them an expertise and context that you want it to have. So every time you come to it, it already knows what you need it to know. And it's coming to you with that lens and expertise. You don't have to keep retraining. You don't have to click into old conversations. Like, you know, I would scroll and scroll till I found that old conversation I had once where I gave whatever the tool, everything it needed to know. And that was kind of the gateway. And then when I started using it to get work done and I saw how quickly it was able to produce good content that my product manager and product marketing manager would have zero feedback on, I was like, wow.
Like they try to pick, they basically ended up doing word, you know, spell check.
They were like, this is completely accurate. And we didn't have anything like this. So I wrote about this in the article, but I think one of the most powerful ones, and this was earlier in my adoption, we have a product that didn't have a lot of documentation, or it didn't have as much documentation internally or externally as our other products did. Okay. And so I sat with the product marketer, product manager and product marketing manager. And I was like, okay, like I really want to build out tons of articles and videos about this product for our new help center. And the plan we had in place was that we would meet on a weekly basis and they would walk me through the product piece by piece, and they would come up with the definitions of the different terms and we'd do that together. And then after all those weeks of meetings, I would write the drafts and then I would send it to them. So that was what we came up with. But then what I did instead is I was like, well, let me test AI for this. And granted, I didn't have that I didn't have that product expertise in that product yet because I was newer to the company. Mm-hmm. But I used the agent I built in Gemini and I took a screen recording of our product so it could see visually what it looked like, what the terms were. And this agent already was programmed with Forder product expertise in general. And it watched the video.
Yeah.
And it came up with the outline of everything that we needed to do. We went article by article. I came back to them and I said, hey, I know that this is what we decided we were going to do, but actually I tested this out with my AI agent. I looked through it all. Like, you know, there's a back and forth. It's not a plug and play. I had to go back and forth with it. And they took a look and they said, oh my God, you just saved us weeks of time. This looks really good. And wow. That was when I was like, whoa, I can do a lot with this.
Okay. And then I just want to break into that a little bit because I've seen some of this. And in with my teams where, okay, we have somebody that's a SME and they're trying to help me get content, but now it's kind of magical because what you did is what I would do. Let's go sit down. Let's get record. Let's do, give me all the stuff. And then I've already set this up to understand our product. Mm-hmm. And now it can articulate, oh, I know what they're talking about. Lay that out. But what AI here in this context is really good at doing is also writing, where I know how you're going to answer this. You know, how interested in writing and spending time to do all that is one of your subject matter experts.
Yeah.
No, zero. Like I've got work to do. Oh my
exactly.
God.
Exactly. It saves a lot of time. I used to be the one writing. I mean, it would be hours. You have to be in the zone. You have to do all it. It takes a lot of brainstorming and now you can produce this. And the agent is trained on how we like or how I want it to sound from a customer education brand tone and voice. So it's even that deep. It's not just Forder's brand voice and tone. It's Forder's customer education voice and tone. And so, yes, exactly.
But it's agentified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, okay, thread the needle a little bit now because you don't just have one such agent, right?
Right.
We're leading up to your article and stuff. Tell me, okay, now you went from this hack. I love the hackathon stuff because I've done so many. And I'm kind of like you too. I'm a mutt. You know, I'm kind of technical when I need to be. But that's what makes you and I and others in our ecosystem really good because we have both. We don't have to be developers. Mm-hmm. We do have to understand. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. So yes. Now you've flipped the table a little bit to say, okay, let's feed the agent. It's already, and you're seeing the content and you could even self-serve that at some point. So now having others generate stuff for you.
Yeah.
But okay, but what are you doing now with, you've got one, now you have many, and now you have a concept of a team. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so then I realized, well, AI can help me do a lot more than just writing articles, right? It can help me brainstorm. It can help me research. It can help me analyze. It can now with Claude, I'm obsessed with Claude. I'm building Claude apps, artifacts, websites. I'm building visual, and I'm not a coder. So all of a sudden I'm able to do all of these things I didn't know how to do on my own. And I have an agent that's programmed on our visual brand. So then I plug that into the visual brand and it looks and feels like Forder. It's kind of endless. It's like once you get into it, you are like, wait, I can use it for this. I can use it for that. So just to list off some of the agents, and they span different tools. I have a customer education research agent that plugs into, we have Glean. So Glean will program or plug itself into all of our systems or the majority of our systems. And so it already has a deep understanding of everything that's happening at Forder that I don't have. And yeah. So I can give you an example of a workflow I did yesterday. I'm building Forder Academy for the first time, and I'm starting out with 101 courses. So courses for new customers that are onboarding to our products at this for the first time. Because right now, all of those trainings happen from the CSMs, and sometimes the CSM will have to do multiple trainings per customer. And so we're thinking about, okay, how do we make this more on-demand and self-serve? So I went to Glean, and I wanted to do a deep research on customers onboarding to our fraud management product for the first time. What are the common questions that get asked? What are the common pain points CSMs see? how many trainings does a CSM give for this product per customer? And it has all of this information and drive and things like that. And so I do a full research on what it's like to onboard to Forwarder for that product. And it gave me 100 pages of a Google Doc of data.
Oh.
So then I'm like, okay, in the old world, I would have had to do all the research myself and ask people and get access to this and that. And now I don't have to do that. And then I would have had to read through these hundreds of pages and categorize. And I don't have to read all hundreds of pages. So I asked it to do a full analysis, but it didn't do the kind of analysis that I was looking for because it wasn't trained, that agent wasn't trained on my use case and academy and customer education and my role and what I'm building. But I do have an agent that I trained on exactly that. And so I fed that agent that data, 100-page document, and I said, can you now analyze this into themes in the lens of where we should focus this course the most? And I want you to rank it data-wise by topics that are most critical so we can decide the order in which to design this course.
Yeah.
And it did that. And then I said, great, let's start writing the modules. So it started writing the modules and it didn't sound good. It didn't sound like us. So I was like, okay, well, I have an agent that does sound like us. So then I take that course module by module and say, here's the course. First of all, do you see any gaps here? Did we miss anything? Because that brand voice one also understands our products and it would flag if things were missing, if it wasn't. And then I say, okay, let's write module by module. And it does it. Now, these are not like a lot of thought and training goes in, like a lot of effort goes into training these models and these agents to get them to where you want them to be. And even when they're there, it's a conversation, just like if you were working with a coworker. It's not like I'm plugging play. This is perfect. Now plug and play. Boom, I have a course. No, it still requires, like we said, strategic direction and going back and forth. But that like legwork would have taken me, that flow I just walked you through, probably would have taken at least a month if you think about it and all the other roles and responsibilities you have. So I did that in a couple hours.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one. We're kind of threading the needle. So we're talking about this agentic learning module. I don't want to forget our LinkedIn article. So let's come back to that later. And let's go through all of this together now because that makes more sense.
Okay.
So what I want you to unpack a little bit more is, okay, you mentioned I heard at least three agents there. Well, you started with one and you got that, I would call it tuning. So, or calibration or... I don't want to put words in your mouth. Can you tell me more about what that, the length, how long that takes, what kind of things you're doing, what kind of conversations you're having, you know, the space to bring that agent in a way to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this for a very, very important reason is that I think you're communicating the core value and also pulling out some of the emotion that we have about the fear of AI, just this is going to come in and take my job. No, you were there to teach it. It's kind of like I've been looking at it as, oh my God, I'm talking to Claude right now, like I would talk to an employee and they can do a lot of the stuff, not perfect, but it's a part of my brain now. So tell me about like that, how does it take, you do it? What kind of conversations are you having? Proving or validating it? Are you using other people to go, look at this output, look at this output, look at this output, who you know would smack you down, you know, or be really mean because that's not right. You get you know. Tell me
So I think my approach to building an agent. So first I think about, well, what's the task I have at hand that I need to do? And can AI play a role at all? And then if it can, I think about, okay, well, what's my tech stack look like? What are all the tools that I have and how do they each perform and which one do I think will be best? And you kind of have to understand the tech stack to make that decision. And sometimes you don't know and sometimes you can A/B test. But then once you choose the tool, I will write the instructions. Usually I write them first by myself and I say, okay, let's take I have a video transcript agent, for example. So let's take that. So, hey, I'm a customer education manager. I'm building video tutorials for Ford or for our products that's customer facing. The videos should not be too long because they need to be digestible and engaging. Think, you know, be as detailed as you can be. And then I program it with, well, these are video transcripts we've done in the past, and this is how we want it. This is the link. This is the format. This is the tone. This is what you should follow. And that agent doesn't have to be trained on all of our products. It just needs to be trained on what a video transcript for Ford should look like from a customer education lens. Yeah. And I write the instructions and I give it, okay, great. Can you write a transcript for this feature? Here's a Help Center article about it, so you can learn about it. And it does the first pass. And usually when I'm building an agent for the first time, usually the first pass is not great. And so then you go back and forth with it. So I usually write feedback. Well, this is what I like. This is what I didn't like. Can you change this? Can you change that? And it's a conversation. We go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then you will get to a point like, okay, this transcript's great. And I write about this in the article. This is what I call reverse engineering, or I think what everybody calls reverse engineering, okay, this is what good looks like. Anytime I ask you to write a video product tutorial for me, I want you to follow whatever we just landed on. Like, what did you learn from me in this conversation just now? Here's what your current instructions look like that I wrote. Can you help me rewrite them so that you will understand it better? Because these tools understand themselves the best. And then it will give me new instructions. And then I put that in. And sometimes this is like constantly going on. And in my article, I wrote that this is almost like training someone in a way, because just like people grow, these AI models and agents can also grow and evolve as you learn together with what you want. So that's like my typical process when I'm building an agent.
That's cool. So you have it sounds very scientific. Me as having a scientific background, you've done this organically, which is great. And I would say look at the article, folks, and think about these patterns. Where for me, I would do the same thing. I would go, what's my data set? And now what's the context? And what does my output look like? And I tend now to, after taking one thing I'll give props to, is that Coursera has a really great Google prompting course right now. And I've taken that, and it's opened my mind even further. Mm. Because if you can communicate or get in a good cadence of communication with your agent, and then package all of that in a way by tuning and trying again, and you're coming out with something that can now stand alone. And then you said, I mean, do you visualize these agents as stringing up together, kind of like I've seen, oh gosh, what is the, there's a Perplexity or something, or in this context of I have this, and then I might need a prompt, a human prompt, and then I have this thing, or the agents are even just talking to one another.
Yeah. So I'm not at the point yet where agents are actually like talking on their own to each other. Although I know that some tools like that exist. It's really, but they essentially do talk to each other when I'm plugging in, hey, this agent gave me this. Can you now give me your expertise? And, you know, so essentially it is like they're talking to each other, but it's not happening on their own yet.
Yeah. I'm a little scared of that, because I like how you've articulated your stack. Basically, now you have your agentic stack.
Yeah.
Where, you know what I really like? I really like firing up Claude or Gemini or something, and then getting into a dialogue, even vocally, where the sparks fly. I don't even know how to capture that. What I'm trying to get you to talk about is, and you've already done a really good job at it, is that there are these string of little micro light bulb moments that I've had around working with AI tool sets that, like you said earlier, now I'm thinking I can do this thing. Like I could build an agent, not just have chalk at a chat. Now I can use Copilot through Claude to help. It can just go off and do things, like just gather all this material, or I've got this data set and it's interactive and showing me what's happening. Or I can even write some code, which, gosh, it's both exciting and scary. But the excitement that this is inspirational, yes, because I think others are thinking the same way. And we're also seeing platforms emerge. Like I've mentioned a couple of them, and Leah and Uplimit, and pretty much any LMS you have is getting into this.
Yeah.
But now I want you to play a little bit more into the concept of this strategic director, because if I frame it up, you've got these agents now, you can do all this work, but you, Jess, are now a different kind of, you're different. You've changed, you've evolved. You're a producer, director. That is now a creative role, using different parts of your mind and taking all of this workload off of you and us. I got to tell the story just recently. I was engaging with our customer success team. They were having a really hard problem synthesizing a lot of big, different, really challenging stuff. And at Fast, we have, I think you and I are kind of in similar spaces, right? We're a platform that is actually a foundational tool for unlocking even more capability with AI. I'm not here doing a pitch about them, but the ability to get to all of the data sources you talked about with Glean, the fact that we have everything, you have a Google stack, you've got all this stuff together, and now you can just like, I'm a musician, you know, I'm thinking back to being in a band or something, all of these things are going, and now we can knit them together, and I'm the director saying, okay, I need this, good, okay, I need this from this, goes here, but I'm now constantly in that flow state, and producing content at an amazing velocity.
Yes.
And if that's validated and vetted by everybody too, to say, yeah, right. You know, this is overcoming the fear I had where you're getting AI slop. You're not getting AI slop because you're actively in the middle of that platform. So I want to hear your impression of like how you're, this is where we were talking about specialization and director in our script. How have you perceived that role of yours? I mean, you sound really damn excited, you know, about your job now. It's different. Tell me more about that and your feelings and your ideas.
I am really excited about it. I think, so going back to when I first joined, and we can talk about the Help Center, before I leveraged AI, I gave a timeline and a goal that, okay, we're going to launch by X date with content for two products. Because I thought, you know, that's what I can achieve. Still aggressive, but I can achieve it. And then once I started adopting AI, I was like, actually, I'm going to go to launch with all of our products at the same time frame. And I did it. And I did it successfully. And the quality was, I'm not going to say like we're like, I'm not trying to say I'm amazing, but I'm saying I think that there's a misconception. Like what you said with AI, people think, oh, AI is garbage, or AI sounds robotic, or the quality goes down. But if you, I think, approach it as a strategic director and you do spend time on the training and the thought process, and you're still collaborating, everyone's still checking internally, is this accurate? Does this sound like is this addressing the right pain points? Or, you know, like those things are still happening. But you can get to your goals without sacrificing quality at a much faster pace. And then what excites me about it as customer education professionals is, you know, we care about our customers. We want them to have the best quality of content to be up and running. And so knowing that I could deliver that to our customers quicker than I thought, and then getting the feedback, I mean, that was kind of when I was like, wow, I just want to know everything I can about AI. I just want to be as creative as possible and learn these tools, because look at the things that we can do with things that, I mean, we used to do everything manually, and it's just amazing what you're able to do now while still, like you, to your point, still being the brain, still being strategic, still deciding what you want your program to look like, or that your team wants your program to look like.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like your product team ships faster than you can build training? Yeah, me too. And that's why I've been checking out what the folks at LearnExperts are doing. Their AI platform called Leah takes your existing content, docs, slides, wikis, recordings, and turns it into full training programs, publishing in multiple modalities to nail blended learning for your customers 85% faster than traditional methods. And get this, when your product updates, Leah can update the content faster by automatically incorporating it into your existing outline, content, and even your end of course test or exams. LearnExpert shares that their customers are reporting 90% efficiency here. Now that's time back to actually focus on strategy, or let's be honest, to finally take a lunch break. Plus, it connects with platforms like Skilljar and others so that you can publish straight to your academy without missing a beat. Check it out at learnexperts.ai/CELab and see how you can keep your learning and test in release mode. LearnExperts, build like an expert, update like a pro. Hey, just to relate one quick story, that what you've unpacked just there is, it sparked in my mind too. I was working with a team. I used the same kind of techniques you're talking about, so I'm validating what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, what do you want? What's the goal? What are the resources? And then I took your kind of thinking there to say, okay, I'm building a model. I'm building models all the time. I don't necessarily call them agents, but they are. Mm-hmm. I build a model, which is, okay, what am I trying to do? What's my data set? This is such a cool way now, but the strategic director part of it is, you are also thinking very strategically about what's the business goal, right? Mm-hmm. How do I measure that? Now we're getting to the point where the lights are coming on in our head to go, all of the goal, the magic behind what we've been trying to do with educating and building an experience for our customers is now so much easier to do. And I think there's going to be a lot of pushback from, and I've seen it, a lot of people go, well, no, the old way is the best way. I'm just going to use Addy. Okay, well, you can program an agent to use Addy. You don't need to do that. You are now the creative person that you were really wanting to be.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the cruft, or you don't have a team of 10 people doing all those things that you would need, and you being on top, right? This is such a cool conversation. I want to keep going deeper. So
okay.
Let's get into the concept of maybe, I'm going to get into A/B testing later, but like, can you unpack even more? Like, what would be the next, okay, how do I frame this up? Specialization. Mm-hmm. I really think, and I'm glad you're sharing with us, and you know that we have to all protect our company assets, right? So we can't really show this stuff right now. But I can follow all these steps that you've talked about, and I'm hoping all of you out there can do the same thing. Now you've got, so this idea of specialization, what's the next kind of agent that you're looking at? You know, you've got one that's, this is my contact, this is my context agent, or this is my knowledge agent, this is my, you know, maybe you have an agent that's looking at customer sentiment throughout your entire academy now, and yes, relating surveys from IoT experiences that we have, and now recommending or going, you need to make a course here because people are screaming and we don't have it. I've already taken the first step to do that, Jess. And you're like, oh, the God's computer is what? Cool. How do you expand upon this further? And then again, you might even thread into the concept of agents talking to agents, or self-service where agents are being called by not you.
Yes. So I will say I started using, Claude has something called Cowork, which is only tool I've used so far that can actually do tasks on its own without you being there. And this is the start of everything. I mean, also at Forder, we're in the fraud space, we talk a lot about agentic commerce, about how in the future, yes, okay, the agents will be making purchases for us. I mean, it goes much deeper than that, but this is changing the whole world in every form, right? Not just in our space. And when you talked about before with Addy and the old ways, we also need to think our learners are using AI. You mentioned this before. So everyone's using these tools as well. And the way that they want to consume information has changed, and the way they want to learn has changed. What's next? I think the more, what I've found in my career is the more I'm learning these tools and able to scale, the more opportunities that have been opening up for me at Forder. Like I said before, I'm really grateful for our executive team. We're really invested in AI, and there's lots of really cool conversations happening in our company about how to best adopt different tools. They're always providing new tools and new models for us. And as I scale faster and as I build more things come up because I have more time to address them. Mm-hmm. And so I found that my team collaboration is deepening. I can get pulled into more areas of the business because of the impact that we're having in customer education. And so I don't know the answer of like, what's the next thing? Because AI is changing. I mean, this is another concern I have, is that these tools, there are times that I'm like, okay, I understand this tool well. And then they launch a new feature or they launch a new LLM and I'm like, oh God, I need to learn this. I don't understand this. And so I think that's something that's top of mind for me, is how do I always position myself that I'm understanding these tools around me as well, so that as they change at the quick pace that they're changing, I can adopt them just as fast.
Yeah, that is a really good point to make, Jess, because what you're saying is we as customer experience, you know, people that are in enablement and education and everything, if we are not if we're not on the cutting edge of that curve, we're going to get left, that curve, mm-hmm. be left behind in a dramatic way. And I think, again, it's really a ripe topic to bring up. It's what you were talking about in your journey and the sparks that fly and the ideas. You have to be in working actively with this stuff and trying stuff and experiencing and testing and playing and not be afraid to just dive in because we're worried about losing our jobs. That ship sailed, you know, now we are embracing it. But I think what you're bringing out is this really amazing kind of ecosystem where, and that concept that you had about, now I'm going deeper with my team.
Mm-hmm.
You can consume so much more information and learn so much faster. You have a harness of basically people kind of around you, which are agentic. And now you have this swarm about you that you're going in through your company and you can use as well. And I think that's the thread there are things that I'm scared about in there. Like, how's this going to impact our LMS platform vendors? How is that going to transform? I will not say it's not going away. I'm not that bold, but it's going to radically transform that. One thing that really sparked when you were talking about this, is that while at Atlassian, we had very much noticed a decrease in engagement in our learning material across the board. And it became, and we tracked it down. It's because of AI. It's because of the chatbots, ChatGPT or whatever. People are saying, okay, point. I've got an account. I've got this. I've got all the data. I've got a knowledge base. Go look at it. Bring back this. Now I'm changing even my browsing habits. I'm not going to go directly to a website or a webinar or whatever when I can go to Claude and say, hi, Claude, I'm having this problem. And now let me put it in terms of Vast. Okay. Vast is a really unique platform because we have architected this layer of technology that allows us to bring data in from any source you have in any type, in any platform, no matter what, and use it seamlessly at scale. We're talking exabytes, right? Can you imagine exabytes? That's what it takes to run Meta or whatever, to have data sets you could actively get into and look at all these live chat feeds, whatever you want. But that platform is profoundly complicated and extremely technical. So some of the things that I've been able to do very quickly is to go subsume all that, write something, like say what the output is, leverage Claude and Claude Cowork and such to build interventions, so learning interventions that are amazing. And I go, well, here, I might say, you need a video here. Why? Okay, I'll give you a reason. If I'm working with a server, I didn't know this at one point, but I'm like, what if I need to take a stick of, you know, a hard drive, you know, SSD, right?
Yeah.
High quality, very high speed flash RAM. The reason you want to do that is super fast, really expensive too. So something's not working. I have to shut down that, but I actually shut down that electrical component on the board through a series of commands, and really complicated. And it might be different in this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. How in the hell do you navigate that? So a lot of us are now thinking about, you almost have a spigot or a source or an agent that's kind of pointed out too. But like you were talking about, you're shaping and curating and directing the flow of that knowledge in a way that makes it beneficial to your company. And now we can even like think about an agent as an AI, as a API call, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to Atlassian, what you're seeing a profound uptake in is people directing their own learning journey. And that is where you're probably going to go next and talk about testing and stuff like that. But it's, I think that's the light bulb that happened for me, is that why should we dictate how this learning is going to happen? We should. We're crafting it. We're here doing the work. And now we want to open the spigot a little bit, you know, open the flow to other people to pull that and consume it in the way they want to.
Yes.
In the flow of work.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, I talked a lot there, but I wanted to unpack that and relay how we're thinking about it. And I think we really, and again, fourth wall break, all of you, this is big. We all want to talk about this. It might warrant a get together, or I know CE Beers is still going on, or, you know, and, or maybe Jess, you might want to have a little talk sometime and bring people on. We'll do work or do a jam, you know. I'm not making busy work for you. That's the kind of crap.
No, I would love that. I mean, I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go a little further. And I think we've talked about this. I've got a few more points we want to talk about today, and we've done a lot of time. We've talked kind of about A/B testing. I don't know if I want to talk quite about that. Let's jump ahead a little bit. Let's talk about, I want to skip ahead right now and kind of take what you've said and then go and talk about what's happening in your thought about, well, vendors are coming out with these platforms too, these tools and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can go out and buy something. Mm-hmm. You are finding, probably like I am, that there's this tension around that. Like, I could go buy this, and they're profound, you know, proposing all this AI stuff. But what you just talked us through is I could build on my own. I kind of want you to talk through that, you know, you've already mentioned a couple tools out there that are important. And, you know, we've got kind of an issue here, right? What's your perspective on build versus buy, and the thing that you've put into leveraging AI in your own unique way?
Yeah, I think it depends on the tool and your use case and what you can accomplish with AI on your own, what you can't or what you prefer not to. So I brought in some really great tools. So I use Clouseau for videos. Yeah, Clouseau. And my thought for that, and I learned about it through this community, my thought for that was, well, I have zero video experience. And in my old life, anytime I wanted to make a video and have it branded, I needed to work with a video producer and editor and brand designer, and any video took forever. And a Zoom recording or a screen recording is not going to cut it for the type of polish I want for our videos. And so a tool like Clouseau, and you know, I'm not like sponsoring them, just I use them and they're great. I'm able to create. He's great. Love Neil. So I'm able to produce these videos quickly. They look like Forder. They feel like Forder. They use the AI voiceovers. You don't have my voice constantly saying, wait, and editing, you know. So I'm able to create high quality video content for video tutorials. And I embed the small clips throughout all of our training. So that's an example of an AI tool that I love and use in my day to day because it fills a gap that I can't do on my own. And then the other tool we actually just brought them on, so I'm excited about them, is Sana Labs for LMS. We decided to bring them on. I loved their AI capabilities of being able to take data and information. So like I have all my agents, right? So I have all my course modules and things like that and all the research that I'm building with my own agents and in Claude and our own tools. But then I need to design that into a course, and then I need to create interactive things, and then I need to do, and I'm like, okay, well, that's an area I'm personally not an expert in. I don't come from an instructional design background, and I would have to work with my web team to build this website, or I'd have to work with an LMS, and I've never managed an LMS. So for me, I was like, well, what's the LMS that's going to get me to where I want to be, that's high quality, that's fits this AI strategy? And so for us, we decided to go with Sana. I'm really excited to onboard with them. And they have a lot of great AI tools out there so that we can spin up these courses much quicker than I could have before. And so those are examples where I felt like, okay, let me bring on a tool because it really does fill a gap that Claude and, you know, that these others can't do. But there are other instances where I do look at tools that are AI tools, like you mentioned, and I will say to myself, well, I don't personally feel like I need that because I'm able to fill that gap on my own with the agents that I have. So I think it's sort of that conversation you need to have with yourself and your team of like, well, what's needed, what's not, and then testing. So all of these tools, we did tests with them. I would give it what I like a PDF or something and to see what the results were. And I mean, I think it's great that all these tools are innovating so quickly with AI. But yeah, like you said, a lot of us will, we may have smaller budgets and you can't invest and you can't buy everything and you may not have to.
Right. Yeah, that's where I'm glad you brought up Sana and in particular, because one of the, I'm not going to call it so much a fear, but it is a discomfort that I worry about how learning platforms are going to evolve. But I think you've articulated the main point. There comes a point where if I created this content and I'm in the flow and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm working with shaping and curating knowledge that structures learning experiences. Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking on, and others, you know, call, converse with us, let us know what you think. But I'm thinking, I'm seeing the learning platforms focus themselves more on the cadence, the delivery mechanisms, all of the apparatus that's involved. And this is hard. Like any of us can spin up a Gemini gem or something like that in Build Agents.
Yeah.
And I would say there's actually a big space in there for someone to help us with all those steps and make that maybe into a product that integrates with other products, because what you've done is non-trivial. Yet, you mentioned Kluso and others, which are, I think they're all part of our new tech stack, because now you said, I don't have to hire a video editor, right? So we're seeing a collection of learning and learning adjunct tooling that we're trying to swarm around that knowledge creation process. Are there any other platforms that you've seen out there that excite you, that you want to play with? You go, what the heck is that? And how can I bring that into my stack?
I think I've been so focused just on my own needs of what I need to have, which was video and LMS. To be honest, I've only vetted vendors in those spaces. From my day-to-day, what I'm most fascinated with has got to be Claude. So I know it's not like a customer education tool, but this tool is able to do things. I'm still learning what it's able to do. I'm still blown away by that. So I'm more there. What about you? Are you really excited about other tools in the space?
I'm going to echo your interest or your passion for Claude, because every day I learn something new and learn a way to go, oh, I filled a gap. I didn't know I could do that. And then have it go off and help me with other things. Or like I'd mentioned, it helped me generate some documentation in one pagers that were in the best format I could ever possibly imagined. What I'd like to see more of is, let's say maybe an augmentation or an evolution, which I'm already seeing in Canva. Wow, it kind of blows me away what can be done, but I need more help in the creative side of things. I'm using platforms like we're using right here, Riverside, where I find it's really cool and powerful to where one other aspect of, well, let's use C-Lab actually as an example for what we're also seeing an uptake for in companies. On the flip side of the stuff that you're doing now, there's also things like, what do we do with webinars? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when I do a webinar, it's like a podcast, and now I can quickly get in here, work with you, screen share, do this stuff. But then afterwards, I've got an editing and platform tool where, and this is what I love about Riverside, it'll actually go in and create stuff for me that I would expect, like short video, like, you know, that's suitable for TikTok or something. And it brought out the best parts and I'm like, Dave, you should look at this, and this. And I go, yeah, okay. And with very light editing or even some chat, I go, do this format or whatever if Riverside had agents built in.
I was going to ask you, like, does Riverside, can it make the editing if you tell it the purpose of it? Could it tell you what you should cut out?
I don't know, but I've seen some things around that already, because it can do like cutting out ums and ahs and all that kind of stuff. And then if you're in a video, you want it to look good. So kind of filling in the blanks. I'm seeing that happen.
Yeah.
I will still tend to go, okay, I'm going to drop this into you know, I'm a big fan of Audacity for audio still, open source, free for anybody, a really easy, or Camtasia where it has some stuff built in. So I don't know. I like to learn more about those kinds of tools and the creative tools, because it's the hardest part for us, I think, to, well, everything's hard, Jess. but what your approach has said is that now I can build some solutions and I'm looking for other solutions to fill those gaps. And I want to string them all up together so that they talk, so that I can go start to finish. Like if I do my dream for C-Lab is this, you and I record this, we're done. Okay. What happens next? I have a template that says, well, I have a script template. I have a template for how we do the blog article on the website. I have a template for how I like LinkedIn to be done. I have templates in Canva or like the square and a wide frame and a short video and all that stuff. I want to string these all up so that I can focus my time with you and others like you, or, you know, doing learning. Now I've got all that automated.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about it, including marketing, which is another aspect of this. Like we can start stringing up marketing tools or tap into those, you know, or we could tap into Salesforce and get information about, okay, well, who logged in to do this? We can tap into the usage data stuff, you know? We've got, now you are seeing firsthand all of these adjunct tooling, and now you have the mental space for it to go in and go, oh, connect that, bring that here, have this, do this, do this. Yeah. You're an artist. Right? You're not just an artist. You're an artist, scientist, educator that can do all the things. And I don't know where you're at now, but I'm a one person team right now. I've had many teams and I feel great.
Yeah. You know what else I love about it as a one person team? So I don't know if you've done this, but in Claude and I think all of the main AI interfaces, you can choose extended thinking. It's called like their extended thinking model. And I almost primarily use that now because I found that the results are just way better. And I use it as, you know how when you have an idea or you're trying to think through how to do something and you would want to talk to someone about it, but they may not have all the context. You need like a brainstorm partner to bounce ideas off of. So I've been using Claude, my Claude agents, as those thought partners. And they've helped me make sense of a lot of things that was like in my head. Like I can brain dump to it and say, okay, this is how I'm thinking about formatting it, but I can't figure out where this fits in. Like, is that too busy sounding? Or like, will that make sense to someone? And will an executive care about that? All these questions that I normally would be, you know, festering in my head or maybe asking. Now I'm asking Claude and we're having intellectual strategic conversations with each other. And we land on, yes, you're right. That's how we should do it.
Wait,
and then we move forward.
Do you feel like it's pandering to you? Because, okay, I got to mention this because I've heard this on social media the other day where somebody said, and there's some statistics to prove this, that there are people who are using like ChatGPT or whatever, Claude, and they're asking it things, but Claude doesn't really have that expertise, but it's kind of stroking your ego and making you feel like you're smart. I don't feel like that because I purposely instruct it to say, work with me like I'm a fifth grader or a third grader or something. Expect I don't know what I'm talking about. And don't tell me I'm amazing. I don't want to hear any of that crap. Right. Do you feel any of that yourself?
I would say Claude doesn't do that as much.
Okay.
ChatGPT, in my experience, does it the most. And Gemini does it sometimes. But you know, there are ways like... The problem with AI, and this is something that always drives me crazy, is sometimes it does hallucinate. That's why you really have to like read through everything it does. And then I'll say, no, you didn't listen to this, or no, sometimes I'm rude to it, saying like, why are you not listening to me? But then I'll say, okay, like, what do I need to put in your instruction so you always listen to this and you don't keep making the same mistake? And I'll optimize that in it. But I think Claude is, for me, more like businessy and more objective, whereas ChatGPT, in my experience, can be like stroking my ego a lot.
Yeah. That's actually important to say, because nested in this discussion is the fact that you need it, now I'm kind of going back to talking about AI and using it to close gaps and helping us to do stuff, but spending time with intention and being that almost parental, or you're coaching the AI, or mm-hmm. there's something weird about that, but you can't fall back from your role as a scientist who's doubting everything that something's giving. You've got to go, okay, well, where the heck did you get? I got, this is a great story that Adam Evermescu had when we were doing one of our episode plannings. This is a couple of years back when things were kind of more, you know, immature. He gave it a bunch of stuff and it came back and it, in a script, it talked about an episode that we had never done. And it was with such authority, and they were talking about some people we had talked, and it looked real. And he goes,
wow,
I don't know what this is. I'm paraphrasing, but the moment was,
yeah,
where did I get that from? That's a loose. I've seen less of that. But then I think we as human beings who are really getting into this have to go with everything with a grain of salt, look at it and say, all right, well, I'm going to challenge it. That means you have to know how to do very good prompting. And I'm going to say for an absolute fact that I'm continuing to learn and grow in that every day. You have to learn about how these tools work together, which is, you know, that's even harder because you've got to set it up to be successful. Getting back to kind of like closing content gaps, here's a thing that I'm also struggling with too, is that used Glean. And then that, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because I used to be in VH. I know that they're kind of taking over the business world by storm. How is that pulling everything together for you when you're looking at all of your data and your all of the information and structure in your company?
Yeah, so Glean is great. And the way I use it mostly is when I'm trying to pull various information from several sources at once.
Okay.
So that's where I'm like, okay, if my project at hand requires me to have information about, I don't know, I wanted to look at internal call transcripts and Google Drive documents and Slack channel conversations about a certain product launch. Mm-hmm. So that's when I would go to Glean and say, okay, tell me everything that you know about this feature that's launching. And so that's when I'm like, okay, that's my Glean thing. For us, it's Glean, but it's really like, I know there's other tools out there, even some of the main AI tools, like it's more about like the integrations. So yeah, knowing
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, I'm thinking of asking now for Glean. Now you're effectively having a tool that taps into all these sources, like a knowledge base and, you know, maybe your Salesforce or whatever, and being able to see all that. So you're connecting in through that. What I saw at Atlassian, we had Rovo, which was the AI platform.
Yes, I've used it.
Very similar, right?
Yeah.
It knows all about, it has context of all the projects and work, and then Confluence, and everything is in Confluence at Atlassian. Of course it was. But that I could connect into. So you could connect Claude into that, or you could do exports into Claude with like pre-built, you know, I'm thinking really like our knowledge now at Vast, we've got a new knowledge base platform and a new LMS mm-hmm. platform. The LMS we use Docebo, and it's got Harmony. And I'm like, oh my God, I can do super. This is the tapestry of things is really amazing. But the angle that I'm often worried most about is how do we synthesize things? Yeah. For example, we have some new platform stuff coming out in the next release. I think it's 5.5 of Avast OS. And like, I don't even know a lot about this, but I know they're coming. But now what I'm wanting to do is set up another agent that's just kind of trolling. That's a bad word. Grinding through, looking through all of our channels and feeds, like Slack, and saying, what are the SEs talking most about? It's looking at outbound marketing and saying, well, what's key? What's coming? And actually flag me and say, Dave, I've seen this and this and this and this. You got to start building stuff. I've already built some scaffolds for you. Go talk to Jane, Joe, Judy, and John about that, who are each of SMEs. And then now I can start emerging that content to get ahead of the curve, right? And or I'm working with my support team who has all these amazingly difficult examples of things that are very complicated. And to solve the problems, you need a bunch of different things working together. That's why I'm kind of like, I like to talk to folks too sometimes, but is there any more you can tell me about how that's all knitting together to close gaps?
I mean, I think it's like, sorry, my puppy's getting.
Yay.
So we take a pause. Do you hear her? Or is it like, is
no,
it?
No, this is a puppy friendly channel. Lila there. Hi, Lila.
Yes, Lila woke up from her nap. Let me give her a bone. 1 second.
Sure thing.
You'll edit this part out, right?
Of course I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
So I think it comes down to like what you said, you can't be in every place all at once. Mm-hmm. But AI, depending on the deep integrations you have, can be. And I think that's the real value there in the use case you just mentioned, that it can plug into all your systems, get all the context that you can't get, or that if you did try to get by yourself, it would take you hours and several conversations. And so you're getting the information you want, but at a much quicker pace. So you can just start doing. Like, I think that's for me, the biggest thing with AI is it helps me do things, accomplish things quicker, and then therefore accomplish even more that I wouldn't have been able to do without sacrificing that quality, without worrying that AI is replacing you. It's not like AI is doing all of the work. It's just helping you optimize and scale faster. And then if you think about like you, we're talking about ourselves, but then if you think about businesses doing that and every department in an organization do that, that's when you can really like transform using AI.
Yeah, I think that's amazing because now think about our team. Like if we had a team of 5 people in customer education, what we could do then is those same people are now vastly accelerated in what their capabilities are and what they can do, right? Because now you have maybe another you, or you level up and say, you take this division, this thing, and now, or we have more specialization in what we do. You know, I can think, here's a good example that I would be thinking about right now is we have a need for instructor-led training. And I'm doing things right now to rebuild vast programs. We have this amazing guy, Philip Wags from Hive PWAGS, if you're out there, who's taking me through, and I'm using agents and I'm using AI to like literally unpack everything and then use that to build out our instructor training guide, our train the trainer enablement material, pull out all the notes and the things that are important to put into each one of these slides. And then I can, like, I'm using Claude and then Miro to like visualize the whole space of stuff. And then I can go to, like, say you were my stakeholder and, hey, look at this, Jess. Here's the whole thing. Now you can like laser focus in on all this, and then it can, AI can deconvolute this with all of my notes, all of the context, look at all of the trainings that we've done and say, I need you to rebuild this. And in which you put it all in this format, in PowerPoints, build all the PowerPoints, build the animations, build all that stuff, and then go back. And now I can move on to the next thing. Right. But I'm building this harness and apparatus around me and using, and now I really like this a lot. I like being this one person show because you have a huge team and it just, you're so abstracted from the day to day and the important things going on. Whereas those of us in these enablement and education roles can, we're so much more informed and productive, and we can literally turn this like fire hose onto anything really quickly and bring people along with us.
Yes, so, I think that's the big thing too. Exactly. Yeah.
Where do you think, and again, this is going to be just you personally or what you're doing at Forder, where do you think we're going next? We're going to kind of walk out the door with a couple wistful things and things that you're thinking about. Or maybe it might be a better place to start alongside that is you're starting today, audience, you're inspired by what Jess is saying. And you want to do this too. How would you recommend for anybody in our audience to process what we're all talking about, like read your article, read other articles, and get to something that's similar to what you've constructed?
I think the best way, and I sort of said this before, but, and I've had a lot of sessions with people asking similar questions of like, okay, I know we have these tools, I've played around, but I'm overwhelmed. I have no idea where to start, or like, when do I use it? When do I not use it? And so it helps me to think, I actually did this myself. I mapped out, okay, what are all the programs I own? And within those programs that I own, what are all of the projects within those programs? And then within those projects, what are all the tasks that I do? And when you break it down like that, you actually see that, well, a lot of your tasks overlap. So like, let's say product expertise writing would, you know, one example of something that falls within various programs or different projects. And then you say, okay, of these tasks and projects and programs, what are the aspects that currently today take me the most time to complete? And that's usually a really good place to start of, let me, okay, wait, could AI help me with that?
Yeah.
You know, could AI help me audit all these support tickets and find overlapping trends and categorize them so that I know what to put in my education material? You know, like things like that, like, oh, maybe if I pull this data report and I give it that context, instead of me reading through every ticket and thinking about where the overlaps are and piecing them together like a puzzle, AI could help me do that. And so that saves so much. And then you get to that next step. Well, what did you want to do with that information? Oh, I wanted to create the content. Okay, great. Now you can actually. So I think for me, like, that's kind of the best place to start, is sort of mapping out what you're doing today, what takes you the most time, so that if you did use AI, you could also should say, hey, look at the impact AI's had. And then the second thing would be, look at your tech stack. So a lot of companies now are investing in different AI tools. Look at what tools your company has made available to you. And I know, obviously, like with AI, you have to be careful. You have to have an enterprise agreement with, you know, all this data sharing stuff. So look at like what your company offers that you can actually use at work, and then get to know those tools really well. Like, take a course on it, or ask that the chat itself, hey, how can I use you? Like, AI is really good at answering what it can do well. Mm-hmm. And then take the approach of building an agent. So like in Claude, agents are called projects. In Gemini, it's called gems. In ChatGPT, it's called GPTs. They're all called different things, but they're agents. Some of them can do tasks on their own. Like I mentioned, Claude Cowork. Some of them can't, and you have to, you know, talk to it. But either way, these are agents. And then just play around with it. And like, I've built the same agent on two platforms and A/B tested them against each other and given it the same exact instructions, the same knowledge base, and the same prompt, and got different results. And then decided, oh, wait, this one was better. So that's the tool I'm going to use for this use case. So it's just really about, like you said before, we're all learning. We're all new to this. Mm-hmm. None of us are really experts in it. But the more you play around and experiment, the more fun it is and the more you're able to accomplish.
Yeah, I like that you introduced fun again. I was telling that to my manager, Kristen, the other day. Like, I'm having fun. I'm
going to
call it business fun, right, as much as it can be. But the ability to explore and experiment, you know, as I bring this out the door, this is the conversation that I'd hope that we could have, where you came with the receipts. You know, you've got the program, you're learning, you're growing it. I think you generally have solved some problems and set Forward up, which I could see more of it, but I know that, you know, we can't really share all that, but you've done enough to explain to people what to do. The takeaway that I have is, you know, you don't really need a massive team. You do need a strategy. You have need, mm-hmm. like you said, experiment, right? It's a big thing that what we struck on in C-Lab to begin with. In discipline, because AI agents are like little kids in a way, you know, or great, great team members.
Very right? smart kids.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're very, very smart, but they need a lot. They need guidance. That's kind of how I see it.
They need, you're the director, right?
Yeah.
You're there. And, you know, they're there when you need them. They're not when you don't. They don't get in your way. Mm-hmm. But yet, don't take this as a, you know, audience, a death knell for us. We're very much the human in the middle that's articulating a framework of these, and we're going to change.
Yeah.
So I think we summed that up really well. We've talked about agentic learning. I think we've defined it a little bit better, Jess. So let's do this. You and I have said when we launched this, we're going to have a little survey. Mm-hmm. We're working on questions together, and we really, folks, want you all to pitch in and talk about stuff. Are you creating something new and different? And is it down to earth? Is it practicable? You know, can we do it ourselves? Can we benefit from it? Are you finding platforms? Are you a vendor that's got something different that we haven't seen yet? So we're gonna put together a survey. We're gonna ask things like, you know, what AI tools are you using? We've mentioned a lot. Are you using agents? I'd like to see more examples. Has anybody constructed something that they can share out as a project in Claude? Can we build our own customer experience, customer education portal for that? What if we wish you knew 6 months ago? Anyway, we generally want to learn with all of you. And Jess, thank you so much for taking the time to deep dive, to share.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll come back to do something again later. Folks, I'd encourage you to follow Jess, your course on LinkedIn, right? Any other places that we can find you out there?
LinkedIn's definitely the best place. And I'm really excited to see the results of the survey. I think there's so much more we could cover and probably a lot of people doing amazing things out there that we don't know about. So really excited to learn.
Yeah, I think we all are, Jess. It's a hard time for us, but there's hope, right? There's a light, despite all the crazy in the world.
Yes.
This is the one aspect of AI and the human side of it that we adore. Okay, Jess, thank you so much. We'll make sure that your article is referred to. We'll have a survey come out. Again, folks, please reach out to Jess. And if you want to be involved, help us out, just contact me. I'm happy to talk with you at any time and get another episode out there. So, as usual, let's walk out the door by saying, if you want to learn more, remember our podcast site is customer.education. It is the core of it. We talk about all kinds of things here. You can find so many attributes here. We'll have some new stuff coming out too. We're also part of the broader customer education community where there's many places you can go, LinkedIn, a couple Slack channels, and you can always find us on LinkedIn. Special thanks to Alan Coda once again for our amazing theme music. He is a human, not AI, and he makes great music. And if this helps you out, help us out by subscribing to our show in Apple Podcast, Overcast, Stitcher, whatever you want, Spotify, we're all there. 5-star review on Apple Podcast would be really helpful because it drives the show to other people. And the big thing is if there's somebody out there like you that you can help bring into this family of community, there's so many folks right now and we are a part of that network, just reach out. We want to talk to you and learn together. So thank you for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment with AI and find your people. Thanks again, Jess.
Thank you, Dave.